Mall of America. For more than 30 years, it has been a retail leader and an international destination, and it remains the largest mall in the U.S. Not to mention, it welcomes millions of guests from around the world. It's huge, but it's also so much more. In this podcast, you're going to hear the real stories of how it started and why it continues to thrive. You'll hear about challenges we faced along the way and what you can learn from them. We will feature guests and experts from all walks of life and business. And along the way, you'll laugh, learn, and maybe even change the way you look at things. So if you're a fan of the mall, a brand new visitor, an entrepreneur, or a dreamer, prepare to dive deep into so much more. This podcast is presented by the Bloomington Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of So Much More, a Mall of America podcast. My name is Dan Jasper. I am your host today, Senior Vice President here at the Mall, and I am joined by my good friend and colleague, Chris Gropp. Chris, how are you doing?
Dan, I'm doing all right. Thank you so much. I'm excited about this today.
I am too.
Because shocking to most people, I actually read the instructions and know how to launder my clothes properly.
Nice.
I feel like that's half the battle, but I'm excited to have this conversation.
I am too, and I'm going to tell you when I got to learn how to do laundry, because it was because of our guest today. Our guest today is Patrick Richardson, but you may know him as the laundry evangelist.
Right.
Patrick loves laundry, loves talking about it. He actually got his start in luxury retail and opened a designer vintage store, Mona Williams, back in 2013.
Yeah.
And now Mona Williams is located at Mall of America
right now.
We love having you here. It's awesome. And he has been featured in so many local, national print and broadcast publications, including having a show on HGTV and Discovery Plus. He's done so many interviews, and he is not new to this at all. So we are excited to have Patrick with us. Patrick, how are you?
I'm great. I'm very excited to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. I actually I was going to say suck at laundry, and I don't think I can say that, but I'm really bad at laundry, even though I said it. And until one day, and I don't know if you remember this, when you came into our offices, Patrick,
yeah,
and you did one of your laundry camps
right
for us, right? And I took copious notes, and actually, I have in my laundry room, have a laminated sheet of all of your
nice
all of your instructions.
As it should be.
Can confirm. Seen it.
It is there.
That's exactly how it should be.
And I will tell you, the place to buy the very best laundry detergent is at Mona Williams.
Thanks.
I stop in all the time and do that. But I found out that you kind of gained your love of laundry at age 3?
Well, it was 2.5.
Okay, that's even better.
Let's not be spreading rumors here.
Well, I mean, like,
2.5.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, don't act like I'm lightweight. No, it actually, I was giving my granny clothespins to put clothes on the clothesline. And the reason I know I was 2.5 is because 3, and this is what you're thinking of, my birthday's in November, and right after I turned 3 was Christmas, and Santa brought me a toy washing machine. You can actually see it in my store.
Oh, okay.
It's in the back at the high. No one's allowed to touch it.
Okay.
And it's the only thing in the store. I've told my staff, like, if you ever have to run, grab that.
I love it. And that began your passion for laundry.
Yeah, so it started there. And then, you know, I loved clothes.
Okay.
So then when I went to college, it was just kind of obvious I was going to study apparel and textiles. I really didn't think about the laundry side. But what happened, we had this amazing costume collection owned by Mona Williams, the first American woman to be named Best Dressed Woman in the World in 1933. And we had her costume collection. And so I discovered the appreciation of conservation. And so basically, when people come to laundry camp or when they come to the store and ask questions, we teach them sort of conservation techniques, but like at home. Like, we're not going to test the water for 6.7 pH and 6.9 pH. We're just going to go with the water, but we're still going to use sort of conservation methods.
So let's dig a little deeper here.
Yeah.
So first of all, I didn't know where the name Mona Williams came from.
There it
so
is.
Thank you. That's awesome.
That was the one question I had prepared.
Well,
so great.
So funny.
I'll see myself
done
out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because the other thing I will tell you, because it's very timely, she was one of Truman Capote's swans. So the Truman Capote Show, it launches the day we're airing this, actually, or the day that we're recording this, the show launches tonight. Truman Capote had these women in his life he referred to as the swans, and one of them was Mona. And if you're a fan of Truman Capote, I can tell you where you will know. If you've ever seen Breakfast at Tiffany's, in the movie and in the book, if you've read the book, he talks about, well, she was a real Okie. She had this real Okie accent. We taught her French so she could learn English. That was that wow. actually happened to Mona. So that story wow. is about Mona.
I love that.
Yeah, okay. She was a pretty remarkable woman.
Oh, that's fantastic. You mentioned very briefly your laundry camps and
yeah.
Explain to our audience how you first developed laundry camps and what does a laundry camp even mean?
Sure. So laundry camp happened. There was an article about me in the Star Tribune. It was the very first sort of article written about my love of laundry and about the fact that I dry clean nothing. I wash everything I own. And everybody started coming in and they started asking questions like, how do I wash this? How do I wash that? And it was the same questions over and over. So I had the idea to do camp so that you could come and I'd answer them to a bunch of people at once, up to 15. I kind of cap them around 15. But so you can come in and you can basically learn to wash everything you own. And so that's how Laundry Camp started, and that's kind of what it is. So it's more or less a two-hour immersive to take you from, you know, sorting to washing to drying to stains.
How long have you been doing that?
I started doing them in 2015.
Okay.
So I've been doing them a while, and then they were always very popular. Then they became much more popular once I moved to the mall because everybody knew where the mall was. So more people would sign up for them because they knew how to get to them.
I love it.
Yeah.
And if you have a question,
go ahead. Yeah, I was going to say, so is there like myth busting that you need to do for people? Have we learned bad habits? Because like I said, I read the instructions and I do what they ask of mm-hmm. me. But beyond that.
Well, one of my best tips is, you know, come to laundry camp or read my book, you know, whatever. And then take like your sweatshirt that you have on that I'm sure says machine wash, cold, dry, flat is my guess. So lay that out on the kitchen counter, reach into the junk drawer, grab the scissors and just cut that out. And then it doesn't say that. And so then
I love it.
You can use a much better method, which in that case would be express cycle, machine wash, warm, hang to dry. Because it would be so much easier for you to care for it that way.
I love that. Can I do that for the rest of my life? Just cut instructions out and just do what I want?
I do it with so many things.
I love
it. It's like a life lesson. It applies to more than just laundry.
What is the trickiest laundry question you've received?
It's tricky because it was so strange.
Okay.
The trickiest question I ever received is how to get jet fuel out of your clothes.
Yes.
And I was sort of like,
I don't want to know.
Could that be a drink in Kentucky?
No.
Or was it actual?
No. If it was in Kentucky and they mixed bourbon with anything, I'd be very offended. No, it was actually somebody, you know, the airport's across the street, and it was somebody whose husband works in the airline industry and got jet fuel on his clothes. So what was so weird about it, it wasn't that hard once I knew, but I didn't know when do we encounter jet fuel in our day-to-day lives? So I didn't really know what it was. So I had to get him to call me to explain jet fuel so that I could figure out how to get it out.
How did you get it out?
Sudsy ammonia.
Okay.
Came right out. It was easy breezy once I knew what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. I had no idea.
What's the most common laundry question you get?
How to get perspiration out of clothes.
And how do you do that?
You take oily soap, you spread it on the stain, you sprinkle oxygen bleach on top, rub it in with your finger, let it sit a couple hours, and run the hottest possible water through. But once you get it out, or when you start with a new shirt, both work, if every single time you spray, like the underarms, the collar, the cuffs, which are the most common places to get it, every time if you spray it with vinegar and water and the vinegar's wet when the washer starts, you'll never have the stain again.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Had no clue.
Yeah.
So you kind of diagnosed Chris's laundry issue. Not that it's an issue.
We call this an issue?
No, not at all. But we have our styles, right? So so Chris loves, and he wears a specific brand a lot, but he loves stylish t-shirts and stylish sweatshirts, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of your vibe a lot. Mine is I kind of wear sweaters a lot.
Right.
So how does one care for sweaters? Because they get all stretchy, but I'm really afraid of shrinking them.
Okay, so if you're afraid of shrinking them, if they're wool, it's probably wool. If they're wool, it's too far. I would have reached over to grab it, and then I would have known. Okay, it's wool. So it goes in a mesh bag as tight as possible in the mesh bag, like a sausage.
Okay.
And then you just toss it in the washer. If your bag is too big, roll the bag up around it, put a rubber band, and toss it in the washer. Because it's not actually shrinkage, it's felting. That's what occurs. So if you ever wash a sweater and when it went in and fit you, and when it comes out, it fits the dog.
Yep.
It's real thick because it felted. And felting occurs when the fibers rub against themselves in the washer. If you put it in a bag really tight so it can't move, it can't rub against itself. If it can't rub against itself, it can't felt.
Ah, I had no clue.
Yeah,
this
so easy.
This is awesome.
I wore this specifically hoping he would comment on it
yes.
because I go to it so often. I love it. So also, thank you for the tip.
Yeah.
Are there brands out there you think are making the garments that are quality garments that are going to stand the test of time versus, you know, a lot of this fast fashion?
Yes, there are. I mean, there's lots of them. And of course, there's lots of them in the mall. I mean, I think most mall brands, the quality is pretty high and it's going to last a long time. Even when you get into those fast fashion brands, if you care for them, if you launder them a little better, they'll last longer. Because my thought is, this is going to be terrible to say in the Mall of America. I don't love shopping. It's not my favorite thing. I mean, I go to my same stores over and over because I know the stuff fits and I can just buy it and walk out. I don't love to shop. I come to the mall to eat. But it's true. I can tell you a story sometime about standing and waiting for one of the places to open for the very first day. Anyway.
I want to hear that story.
Yeah. So, but most of the stuff in the mall will, and even the like what we're going to call the fast fashion pieces, they'll last longer. And if you don't love to shop, making them last as long as possible with better laundry is just better because, you know, they just, no matter what, no matter the price point of, you know, the $10,000 jacket or the $4 t-shirt, which both would be here, they'll last longer if you care for them.
That's awesome. Now I want to hear the story.
So I grew up in Kentucky.
Okay.
As we know, I grew up across the street. When I went to college, I went to the University of Kentucky. Across the street was the headquarters for Long John Silver's. And there was not a Long John Silver's in Minnesota. And every time I would go home, when we would land, I was like, I want to go to Long John Silver's. And, you know, to them, it's just like going to, you know, McDonald's or something. And so, of course, none of my family, they were always like, can't we go get a steak? I was like, I want Long John Silver's. So I want to tell you it was 2000. It might have been 2001. I know it was November 16th. I took the day off from work so that I could sit. I called the mall, and they were like, okay, it's going to open on the 16th. So I knew it was on the 16th. I called the mall, knew the date, took the day off from work, got here at 10 o'clock, sat in the food court, and waited for it to open. I was their very first customer.
And was it worth it?
Totally.
What and did you
still,
get?
Well, of course, the fish. And still, occasionally, like if I get homesick, I'm like, you know, I'm going to go upstairs and I'm gonna have some fish and chips. So, you know, it's funny.
It's a childhood memory, right?
Yeah, it's just a tradition. This thing, and it's the only one in town. Awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
You'd kind of talked, and you kind of went through from three-year-old up to college, but you missed eighth grade. Something happened. What happened in eighth grade?
I was named best dressed. I was named best dressed in eighth grade and again in high school. And because I loved clothes. And okay. I think when you love clothes, you end up, it's just like any, I mean, at some point in time, clothes become a hobby.
Yeah.
You know, they really become like, we don't just put things on, like it kind of becomes a hobby. And like any hobby, you get good at it. So I loved clothes. So I loved buying clothes. Well, then you love all the parts. So I think you love caring for them too. I think if you don't love caring for your clothes, it's not really fair to say that you love clothes.
That's kind of true about life though too, isn't it? I mean that there's something really yeah. profound there, which is if you love your home, take care of your home.
Well, anything and, right? worth having should be worth taking care of.
Yeah, and that. You think of people who like collect cars. Mm-hmm. You know, people who collect cars can tell you that wire is a replacement. The original wire was supposed to be twisted in yellow and blue. And you're like, look, as long as I can do this or I can hit remote start, I'm yep, good. Yep. But people who love cars love that kind of thing. So I think if you love clothes, it's the same sort of thing. You know, I am... run into people with Laundry Love and even now with House Love who are like, I love my coat or I love my wedding dress all the time. People want to know how to wash wedding dresses. And the thing is, I'm like, well, if you love it, then you need to learn how to care for it, like whatever it is, because you can't tell me that you love that Chanel jacket if you don't know what to do with it. Like you don't love it. It's not, you spend a fortune on it, but it's not that important to you. Because if it was, you'd take care of it better.
So why are the manufacturers doing us wrong?
Mainly because there are people who don't care about their clothes. So, you know, if going back to your sweatshirt, mm-hmm. there are people who buy it because of function. They don't, you know, or they get it as a gift and they don't care. So the brand wants to make sure that you don't do anything to damage it because they don't want you to hurt their reputation. So they're going to tell you the gentlest possible solution, which very often is dry clean. Like the shirt that I'm wearing actually says dry clean only, and it's Cotton Oxford. Cotton Oxford is kind of the chinos of the shirt world. It's so durable. I mean, I could take it off and we could play tug of war with it. Nothing's going to happen. But it says dry clean only because the brand doesn't want me to do something to make it look bad and then walk around the mall. So your sweatshirt, if you handle it poorly, it'll get splotchy and it won't look good. So they're going to tell you hand wash cold, dry, flat, because then if you bleach it in hot water, they're going to say, look, you didn't follow our instructions, even though their instructions weren't the best or the easiest.
Part of your mission, it seems to me, is sharing your wisdom and your love for these processes with other people. You mentioned briefly you have two published books, House Love and Laundry Love. Talk a little bit about the books and what brought you about to writing them and that whole experience.
So Laundry Love happened because nobody had ever written the definitive book on laundry. I mean, I can now say when I talk about it, I'm like, I literally wrote the book on laundry. So, you know, it's the only one that really sort of exists. So when I started writing it, I wanted to write about the women in my life, like in my childhood primarily. Laundry Love is all childhood. But I still wanted to give you the processes beginning to end. House Love happened because I asked you to put together this kit. So in Laundry Love, it's like you need a spray bottle of vinegar and water. You need a spray bottle of vodka. You need a spray bottle of rubbing alcohol. You need brushes and whatever. So I asked you to put together this kit. And then I realized this is the same kit I'm using through my whole house. So House Love came because you've built this kit. So now let's take this kit through the rest of your house. And it still kind of sticks with the reason Laundry Love, House Love is you do laundry for people that you love, which is a huge thing. I mean, it's all about love, right? So you love your clothes, you love the other people in your house if you do their laundry and you take care of them. Well, then House Love was sort of the natural progression. And the interesting thing that people are finding interesting about House Love, because it's only been out, right over a month and 3 days, I got so much more interested in sustainability, which I think is something that came out of laundry because I don't like all the chemicals. I don't like fabric softener. I don't like dryer sheets. I don't like too much detergent. I don't like any of those things. I mean, everything is simple and clean. And like if you buy the products in my store, they're food safe. I've now gotten to where if it's not food grade, we're not going to carry it anymore. So it got so clean. And so then sustainability really came forward because I became so much more interested before House Love came out.
I love that. I actually do buy all of my products at Mona Williams, believe it or not.
Thank you.
And I love the laundry soap. It feels natural.
Yeah, clean. Right?
It feels clean.
Right.
Right. My clothes come out and they feel really clean. So they're amazing products. You have told your stories in other venues too, national television, different shows, Good Morning America, live with Ryan
Kelly
and Ryan. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear some tea.
Well, first of all,
I want to hear the good ones.
Fair enough. Paul McCartney told me never to name drop, but Kelly Ripa, my book was her favorite book. She came out with a book, so I assume her book is her favorite. But up until then, it was mine, and secretly, I think she still loves it more. But for example, on Kelly and Ryan, we were talking earlier about saying things without thinking them through. The second time I was on the show, Mark was co-hosting. Ryan was out of town. It was right at the start of American Idol. And when I go on, Kelly is always like, this is my next husband. Before I could even think, on TV, I said, I'm looking at your current one, and this is a mistake.
I love that.
So I thought it was funny, but, you know. I mean, because he's adorable, and they're so charming.
Yes.
And I love them. I want to be best friends with them.
Yep.
I want to live next door to them. You know, I love them. So, I'm trying to think of anything dishy.
No, I don't need dishy, well, but just funny is...
No, I mean, there's fun. Them. I mean, there's, you know, like, I dearly love Ben and Aaron Napier from Hometown. They've been wonderful to me. Yeah, it's funny. What's most interesting is the people who come out of the closet about loving laundry. I mean, I get it often, and, like, from celebrities, there are a number of celebrities who I know have my book and love it because they love laundry. And I think there is something sort of funny. I think it's very satisfying, like, at the end of the day, because it's a 2-hour process, right? In 2 hours, you have completed something beginning to end. And I think, you know, after filming or whatever, it's just kind of satisfying too.
To see that end product,
yeah.
You know that they did it, and
a little control.
No, absolutely, I get that. You said you love that many of these celebrities love laundry. How do you respond when someone says, "I have to do laundry"?
That if you want to really tick me off, that's what you say, because you don't have to do laundry.
Yep.
You get to do laundry. In most of the world, people would murder for the ability to throw something in the washing machine and push a button, and 30 minutes later it get done. They're actually washing machines. We're learning that in third world countries, they're developing simple washing machines because the women, and it's primarily the women, spend all day doing laundry at the river, and giving them a washing machine means that all of a sudden they can do that task quickly and they can like start earning money, and it could actually improve like countries. It's an amazing thing. So when you tell me you have to do laundry, I'm not going to say I'll smack you, but I'm not going to say I won't. That's all I can promise.
Shots.
I'm not a
fire.
I'm not saying on any sort of filming that I will assault you, but if there's no one around.
But another saying you've mentioned before is that you should hang something in your laundry room.
Oh, you should hang a disco ball in your laundry room. Because it's fun.
Yes.
The thing is, you know, laundry is fun. Like, when I was a kid, which was before any of you were born, it was in the 70s, and I was a kid, and you would watch TV shows, and people were like, oh, you know, and it'd be this dramatic thing. I have to make dinner for the kids. Like, it was some chore. Now, there are stores devoted to cooking. There are TV shows. There are networks devoted to cooking. The number one selling category of books is cookbooks. There are magazines devoted to cooking. And you know what? Ina Garten puts the roasted chicken in the oven exactly like my mom put the roasted chicken in the Harvest Gold oven in the 70s. You know what changed? We decided it was fun.
Yeah.
We decided that cooking was a hobby and it wasn't a chore. So you put a disco ball in your laundry room and it becomes a hobby. It's not a chore.
I think that's a good point, because most of the time the laundry room is the afterthought or the space where you could fit it versus something intentional.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, and I imagine a lot of people who watch this podcast have children. One of the best things in the world is to say, I'm going to do the laundry. No one will follow you. The space is all your own. So take some wine and some lint and go to the laundry room.
Tell you what, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
I'll get a wine fridge down there and a disco ball.
I love that.
And I'll report back.
Right.
And we won't tell Sarah it's going to happen. We'll
just change your
transform
life.
Transform it. Yep.
Like I'm going to go do my laundry at his house.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's
laundry
like
party.
But again, what you're saying is so profound, because it really, it extends beyond the laundry room, right? Is celebrate life and celebrate because a lot of people don't have the opportunity to do the things that we get to do.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, it's just like, I mean, and we talk about that, like going back to house love, we talk about it with your house. Like, one of the things I love about cleaning the house or even cleaning my store is you get to touch all the stuff you like.
Yeah.
Like, it's your chance to touch all your stuff. You know, and you remember, oh, you know, I love this and I bought it and whatever. It can be really fun.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be this grating thing.
No. Well, I think the parallels you made between cooking then and now is apt, because there is a preparation, there is a process, and it can be learned and attained if you take the time to learn how to do it right. There's no reason why can't be fun.
Right. And get the tools. You know, I think the other thing about laundry is people go buy, you know, whatever, and they just throw it in and hope for the best. You know, I mean, they don't have any. Dan.
Previously.
Okay.
I'm
all right with previous. But, you know, I mean, buy yourself a horsehair brush, get yourself some laundry soap and a spray bottle of vinegar. I mean, get yourself the products to set yourself up for success, because that's the thing you do with cooking. That's the reason that you go to the home department of Macy's and you buy a roasting pan with a roasting rack, because it gives you, and you know, those forks for your chicken, it gives you a great roasted chicken. If you put the roasted chicken in, I don't know, a saucepan, you're not going to get the results that you want. Well, the same is true of laundry. It can be fun and it can be easy. You just have to make it, you just have to be mindful about it. I think that's the key. It's just being mindful about the process, and then it can be fun.
And I know you made the joke about it, the laundry room is a great place for solitude, where the where you can take your glass of wine and stuff, which, by the way, I love that idea. Mm-hmm. But it also is an opportunity to teach kids, right? And let them know this is a fun process, and it's something to take joy in as well.
And, you know, I mean, my granny, you know, one of my memories is like, you know, is spending time with her. Well, I mean, my granny was my person. You know, everybody has their person. My granny was mine. And, you know, unfortunately, I haven't had her for 13 years, but I still talk about her all the time. I mean, I dedicated the book to her. But, you know, hanging clothes on the clothesline wasn't hanging clothes on the clothesline. It's a memory that has lasted 50 years. And, you know, if you teach, if you take your kids to the laundry room, you can teach them to do laundry, which is teaching them to take care of their things and take care of themselves. But you can also teach them that you can have valuable time and just every day. I mean, you know, like you can have really valuable family time at, you know, Nickelodeon Universe, but you can also have really valuable family time in the laundry room. And both of those things can be memories.
Just like when you cook with them. It's the same. You're creating a bond and you're creating a memory like you did, which is amazing. We're running low on time.
All right.
Before we end up this show, I'd love for you to let people know where they can find Mona Williams, both in person and online.
Mm-hmm. You can find Mona Williams in the mall, in the almost in the southeast corner. It's at 286 South. We're between Vera Bradley and Lindt, which, you know, you can then go to Lindt.
He does.
I do so frequently.
That's how I know when he's restocked.
Me too. Me too. Often. And then if you find me online, you can go to Mona Williams, but the best way to find me is go to laundryevangelist.com. What's great is you can buy products, which, you know, shout out to products. But I have over 100 YouTube videos, so you can learn how to wash your hoodie if you don't know. You can learn how to, you know, make a really great cleaning spray with vinegar and citrus peel. So there's lots of videos. There's also links to appearances, links to Laundry Camp, when Laundry Camp is available, when you can get a ticket, because it is it's free, but it's ticketed.
Okay.
So you can do that, and then, you know, you can find out just, I don't know, whatever you want to know.
It's an amazing website, so everyone should check it out, and his products are all listed there. But it's also really fun to go to the store, and I have to, especially at the holiday season. I love going in Mona Williams.
Yeah, I get it real into Christmas.
Yeah, it's fun. I love it so much. We're going to do a very quick kind of speed round here, if that's all right. I don't know how this is going to work with you, Chris, because I'm going to ask you first, then he gets to answer.
Okay.
How do you get these stains out of clothing, lipstick?
I'm going to go to Mona Williams
website
and look for a tutorial video.
There is one. Yeah. It's easy. It's vinegar and water, spray vinegar and water, dab, soap, and a brush.
Chocolate. Same answer?
Dark.
Dark chocolate. Yeah. You prefer dark chocolate. How do you get it out?
You actually do it the same way. They both work the same way because they're both oily with color.
Okay, awesome. Red wine.
You just dip it in oxygen bleach. Oxygen bleach and water, you dip it in, it turns color. Fun side fact, if it's cheap wine, it turns tan. If it's good wine, it turns blue. So if your friends bring wine,
you'll know.
Uh-huh.
This is a new party trick we're going to do. We're going to test the quality first.
We'll see how much they like me, right?
Right.
Grass stains.
Grass stains, the easiest way to take them out is just soap and a horsehair brush.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
And for guests that are listeners that are interested, can they get your books online as well?
You can buy the books online. You can buy them everywhere. I mean, in fairness, you can buy them at Barnes & Noble in the mall. You can buy them anywhere. But if you want them signed, you can buy them online and you type in the notes who they should be inscribed to. And I do sign them. We just had somebody yesterday want one and she said, I don't want you to rubber stamp the signature. I want you to sign it. I would never do that. I literally stand there and sign them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It has been such a pleasure having you with us today, Patrick. Thank you for joining us. We love having you at Mall of America and the wisdom that you share with everybody and the joy that you share with everybody.
Well, thanks.
And I need to go rewatch those videos, too.
I know. I feel I have some homework, too.
We are, Chris. We're going to get on that.
So that will wrap up this episode of So Much More. We're grateful to Patrick Richardson for joining us today and to my co-host, Chris Gropp. We hope you enjoy this conversation, and we will see you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of So Much More. If you want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you find your favorites, including Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And you can also watch a video cast on YouTube. Go to podcast.mallofamerica.com to leave a review, ask a question, or give us an idea for the show. Until next time, thanks for listening. So Much More is presented by the Bloomington Convention and Visitors Bureau, the official destination marketing organization for the city of Bloomington, Minnesota. Before your next trip to Mall of America, visit bloomingtonmn.org for answers to all your travel questions, deals and packages for hotel stays, and so much more.